Shavua Tov u'mevarach. We're going to start our week off right with the Mishneh Yomi. We're holding in chapter 5, the last chapter, and we're actually in the last 3 days. We're going to start Avot, the famous Pirkei Avos, this Tuesday, Bezrat Hashem. We are right now in chapter 5, Mishnayot 8 and 9. Yayin Nesech Aser. The wine of libation is forbidden. We learned that back in chapter 2. Va'osir bekoshahu. And any amount renders kosher wine non-kosher, as we talked about yesterday, even the little drops. Yayin b'yayin, wine poured into kosher wine. Mayim b'mayim, also water into water. Remember, we had water libations in the temple on Sukkot. We talked about in the Mishnayot in Sukkot a couple years ago. If the pagans performed water libations for their idols, guess what? That water is mayim nesech. It's libation water and is also forbidden like yayin nesech b'kol shehu, in any amount. Now, the Gemara here does mention a case where there could be a large boar, a big vat of kosher wine, and there could be a drip, like a tiny drip, one drop at a time of yayin nesech into it, might still be kosher because of kama kama bottle. Every tiny drop is lost in the big sea. So the Mishnah is not talking about that scenario, but the typical scenario where there's a flow or a pour more than a tiny drop. But the Mishnah does note, yayin b'mayim. What if it was yayin nesech into normal kosher water? Or mayim b'yayin? Or mayim of nesech, water that was libated to pagan deities, into kosher wine? Benotein tam. Then it's only forbidden if it gives a taste. If you would taste the flavor of the wine in the kosher water, guess what? It's no longer kosher because you can taste the forbidden wine. The Mishnah sums up Zeya Klol. This is the general rule. Min b'mino b'mashahu. Something that's prohibited of this nature, and it falls into the same taste, the same item, the same taste, like wine into wine, water into water, then any tiny amount will render it forbidden. Shelo b'mino, if it falls into a different taste, but no tentam. It's only forbidden when it gives a taste, as we mentioned, by the wine into the water. This Zeya Klol is actually, the Mefarshim point out, it's actually about tevil. Tevil means untithed produce. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah 73 explains that tevil is also really important because even one grain of tevil can be used to separate truma. So even one grain, literally it's one piece of grain, is important and is not bottle when it comes to tevil. But in general, other things, when something forbidden generally falls into something that is kosher, then it is batal. It is considered nullified when it does not give any taste. It's not noten tam, and you might also hear this described as shishim, as 1 in 60, because basically if something is less than 1 in 60, you're not going to taste it. So typically that's the percentage where we say it is batal. When we're not dealing with certain specific items like Avodah Zarah and Tevil and things we're about to mention in Mishnah 9, Elu Asurin V'Osrin B'Kol Shehen. These items are not only forbidden to have any hana, any benefit, but even a tiny amount renders other mixtures forbidden. Yayin Nesech, libational wine, as we just talked about. Avodah Zarah, idols themselves. So what if there's a factory in China that makes 10,000 little Buddha dolls and somebody in the factory worships one of them as a deity and then throws it back into the bin with the other 10,000? So assuming it's not batal, all 10,000 of those little Buddha dolls are now forbidden as Avodah Zarah because you don't know which one actually got worshipped by the pagan. The Orot Levuvin, the Mishnah adds these hides that come from animals that had the hearts removed. We talked about this back to chapter 2. There was a form of worship where they would rip the heart out of a living animal for their Avodah Zarah. Vishor Haniskal, an ox that gets stoned. It means the ox killed somebody. The ox murdered and was sentenced to death by the court. We talked about in Sanhedrin. And a Shor Haniskal that's executed is Aser B'Hana. You can't eat it. You can't use the meat even to feed the dogs. The Egla Arufa, the decapitated calf. This is the special ritual we talked about at the end of the Mishnayot Sota for an unsolved murder mystery where they would decapitate a calf and, you know, try to get publicity and solve the murder. Tzipore Mitzura, the birds of a Mitzura. A Mitzura is someone who had sarat, who had this affliction on the skin, and part of the purification ritual involves taking two birds. Now, one of those birds is a karbon, and the other one is sent free. The Kahati and the Mefarshim get into which bird we're talking about here is actually problematic. The Sa'ir Nazir, the hair of a Nazir. When a Nazir concludes his Nizirut, he burns his hair in the fire under the carbon shlamim in the temple. and it is forbidden to any other benefit. Peter Hamor, the firstborn male donkey, this has to be redeemed, swished with a sheep, and if not, is forbidden for benefit. Basar b'chalav, and also milk and meat that are cooked together. So for instance, if somebody's grilling up hamburgers and accidentally a piece of cheese gets onto one hamburger and, you know, absorbs the meat, absorbs the taste of the cheese, but then they realize they scrape off the cheese, but then that one problematic hamburger, which is meat, which includes the taste of cheese cooked into it, gets mixed with all the other hamburgers, there's a problem here. They all become forbidden. Mishnah notes, Seir Mishdaleach, the goat sent out to Azazel on Yom Kippur, Vechulin, unconsecrated, non-sacred animals, shenishchatu bazara, that were slaughtered in the temple courtyard as an illegal carbon. Hare elu, asurin, all of these items are usur, they're forbidden to have any benefit. V'osrin, b'kol shehen, and they prohibit if they are mixed up with anything else. So even if there's just one of these items or a tiny bit of these items, since they are so special and they're forbidden from benefit, even if they're mixed with a lot of kosher normal items, the entire mixture becomes forbidden. Now, in the Gemara, Daf 74, they do talk about these items are special because of their sacred status, their Avodah Zarah status, or because they're Davar Shebiminyan. That means a thing that you count, meaning when you go to the store, you buy them by number. You say, I'll take 10 of those. You don't buy it by a weight. You don't buy it by measure. You count out exactly how many you want. And that way, things that are counted out and sold like this are harder to nullify. So probably in the hamburger case, it'd have to be like a really big, juicy hamburger that's important, chatich ruliyat kabed, as they say, or like a big steak or something of this, something that you would buy by count, not just by pounds of ground beef. And of course, all these items in the list are usur behana. You can't even sell them or feed them to dogs, which is why they have this special status of never being batel, because normally under Torah law, we do rely on bittel. Bittel barov is a Torah law. And rabbinically, we do rely on noten tam and batul b'shishim. And there are whole chapters in the Shulchan Aruch, and there are whole svarim written about these. These are key concepts in kashrus, and that's worth further study. Bezrat Hashem, when we have time. Tizkuli mitzvot.